Today we want to think on the subject, what are the signs of His coming? Of course, we're referring to Christ's coming. Galatians 4:4 tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And of course, that refers to when Christ came to earth. He was born in the right place in Bethlehem at the right time when Rome was in power, and in the right way, a virgin birth. That coming was promised in the Old Testament and was announced by signs. The sudden appearance of a new star convinced the wise men of the East that the King of the Jews had been born, and we see that in Matthew 2:2. When the Pharisees and Sadducees asked Jesus for a sign from heaven, He said this in Matthew 16:2-3. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." They were able to predict the weather by observing the sky, and they should have known from the scriptures and from observation of Christ that He was the promised Messiah, and that scripture was being fulfilled before their very eyes. Later, at the triumphal entry, Jesus wept because of their unbelief and the judgment that awaited them. They were so interested in just plain everyday activities that they had become dull to spiritual realities. They should have known that the Messiah had come, but they didn't. And as a result of His rejection by Israel, Jesus began to prepare His disciples for His coming death and resurrection and absence from the earth. After weeping over Jerusalem, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 39, "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Here Jesus spoke of a time of absence, for He said, "Ye shall not see me henceforth," and He talked about a return when He said, "He that cometh," and He talked about a joyful reception by Israel at His second advent, when He said, "Blessed," or when they would say, "Blessed is he that cometh." Later, on the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked Jesus privately, and we see this in Matthew 24, the last part of verse 3, "What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" Now, His reply to that question is found in Matthew 24 and 25, and in Mark 13, and in Luke 21. Jesus outlined the events that would have to take place before He would return to the earth. And these signs or events are not signs of the rapture of the church, but are signs of His coming to the earth, which will be visible and which will be accepted by Israel. And this coming takes place at the end of the Great Tribulation. We read in Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now these signs and many other things which characterized the tribulation will be fulfilled completely in the great tribulation. But the great tribulation, remember, is only 7 years long. It is very logical to conclude that the very beginning of those signs or things leading up to these signs will be seen in the end of the church age. We certainly are much closer to Christ's return than the disciples were. In fact, we may be living in the very last days of the church age. We view current events in the light of Scripture, and they are like a shadow which indicates that Jesus, the light of the world, is near at hand. The signs of the tribulation certainly do cast their shadow back into the church age. Let's look at some of the signs that Jesus mentioned. First of all, in Matthew 24 and 4 and 5, and we won't look at those portions, but he spoke of false messiahs or false leaders. There will be many false Christs or leaders before the revelation of the Antichrist in the Great Tribulation period. The world has always welcomed leaders who promise deliverance from world problems. It doesn't take much imagination to conceive of a day when a bright, magnetic leader would be followed, even worshiped, if he would offer the world a universal solution to the world's and national problems, and the Arab-Israelite situation, and the problems that will be created by the rapture of the church when multitudes of believers just literally disappear. But before that time, false teachers and leaders will increase in number and deceive many. And we look around the world and we see many false religions. And these are really false teachers. And these false leaders may even deceive some of God's people. Multitudes will follow these false leaders. And Jesus warned, watch out. Don't believe them. Don't follow them. Now, what are the signs of Christ's coming? Well, there will be national and international unrest. And in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, we read, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Man's history has been one of war. There has always been war, and there always will be war. Peace is not just around the corner. There will be no peace until Jesus comes, the Prince of Peace, and when he returns and rules upon the earth with a rod of iron, then there will be peace. In the short history of the United States, there has been the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam conflict, Desert Storm, and then there's been more. Wars have increased in number. And next, there will be natural disasters. That's another sign. In Matthew 24, the last part of verse 7, it says, "And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places." Natural disasters have often occurred in the past, but Jesus said these would increase as his coming draws near. Just look what we have had in America this past year. There's been the COVID-19 pandemic. In central Iowa, a while back, there was the worst storm that I'm told in Iowa's history. And there's been wildfires out west, and there's been hurricanes and storms down south and out east. In fact, right now, there's a hurricane going across the south. And so these are a sign of Christ's return. And then there will be signs in the heavens. In Luke chapter 21, the last part of verse 11, we read, "And there shall be great signs," let's see, okay, Luke 21, the last part of verse 11, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Scientists say that the sun and stars are using up their energy and that the earth is running down. And that's just an indication of the soon return of Christ. And then also, another signs are secularism and materialism. And in Luke and in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37-39, we read, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verses. Verses 37-39. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5-8 tells us that the wickedness of men was great. There was gross wickedness in Noah's day, and it seems like our day is also becoming very wicked. There is gluttony, there's drunkenness, there's crime, there's murder, there's drugs, there's divorce, there's immorality. But Jesus was referring to more than just this gross sin and wickedness. He was also referring to just normal, everyday things. There's nothing sinful about just normal eating or regular food and drinking water or coffee or tea or whatever, or buying and selling and planting and building and getting married. Their sin also was that they went about daily pursuits with indifference toward Noah's construction of the ark. They lived for today and planned for tomorrow without any regard that God would or could judge them. Now, this was also true in the days of Lot. But like today, the world is concerned about everyday things, cars, college, homes, farmers about weeds, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but when people get so consumed about everyday things and they aren't concerned about conversion or spiritual things, that's wrong. On any given Sunday morning, a family can get up out of bed, they can eat breakfast, they can read the newspaper, they can hitch the boat trailer to the car, and they can drive by churches that might have a sign out in front that says Jesus saves, and they can spend all day at the beach and the lake, and then they can drive home past the same churches that are having an evening service, and they can get home and they go to bed at night and they don't even have a bothered conscience that they just spent the whole day in pleasure. People go about life eating, making a living, enjoying pleasures, and are insensitive and lulled to sleep and dead concerning spiritual things. Many just do not care about Christ and eternity. This attitude will increase and characterize the end time. And then another sign is moral laxity and apostasy. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, uncontrollable or not disciplined living, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, rash, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This kind of looks like a description in the front page of a newspaper. People are never satisfied, always wanting more, and there's a lot of swearing, dirty and crude language, and that is becoming commonplace in our world today. And then there is disobedience to authority, and we see this in the home, we see it in the law, civil law, we see it in schools, and then the Bible says people will be without natural affection. There is abortion, child abuse, euthanasia, affairs, and then there's pleasure seeking, and there's many people falling away from the faith, rejecting the doctrines of the Bible, the virgin birth, justification by faith, and atonement, and then there's ecumenism, where churches are trying to group together and become one big group. God described excuse me, God described the entire church in Revelation chapter 3 when he talked about the Laodicean church. He described it as being lukewarm, indifferent. They had no zeal. They were satisfied with life just as they had it. They were really plain church and just going through the motions. And that is so characteristic of our day in which we are living. And then another sign is there will be an increase in knowledge and transportation. And way back in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." We are told that knowledge is doubling every 10 years. Take all the knowledge learned from Adam back in the book of Genesis to the present, and we will learn its equivalent. We are told this. We will learn its equivalent in the next 10 years. Scientific and medical technology is running far ahead of the human mind, and this is why computers were invented, to store up vast areas of facts for future usage. Libraries and universities are using microfilm and microchips today, and the family doctor seems to be on the way out. And today, one must be more specialized. There's the heart doctor, the cardiologist. There are the eye doctors. There's the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And we could go on and on. And each of these needs to know a lot about that specific area. In the 1900s, we went from the horse and buggy to space travel. Man can board a plane in New York and get off in France the very same day. All of this will continue and increase until Jesus comes. And then another sign is that of major military powers. Scripture speaks of four major powers surrounding Israel. There's the eastern and the western, the southern and the northern. The western is the revived Roman Empire, which will be led by the Antichrist, and that is made up of the European nations today. And the north involves Russia. And the southern involves the Arab and African countries. And the eastern involves Red China and her neighbors. Yes, we see the signs increasing in number and intensity. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed, or now is the time of Christ's return. That's what it's referring there to, than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then the first part of verse 13, let us walk honestly or decently as in the day. And then verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In the last number of weeks in church, we've talked about the importance of putting Christ first in our life, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Paul speaks of even the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more, even more important it is that Christ has full control of our lives, and that even though things in this world are important, our home and our food and clothing and all of that's important, yet Christ needs to have first place, and we should live for him, live completely for him, and serve him, and put him first in every area of our life. As we see the signs increasing, even more so, let us completely live for Jesus Christ and serve him and please him. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that Jesus is coming back. And Lord, we see the signs of the time, and they're increasing, and they are evident. They show that the return of Christ is close. And Father, before Christ returns, I pray that we might live for him, that we might put him first in our lives, that we might diligently serve him, that he might have full control of our lives. And Lord, I pray that we might be seeking to point others to Jesus Christ, who alone can forgive their sin and save their souls. So we just pray, Father, that you'll use us and lead us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.